welcome you into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven, your final gateway of the 2017 season, more than likely, because even if the Cardinals do move, Tara and I were way too busy to do this show. So, and that is Tara Wellman over there, which you know from Birdseeds and at Tara Wellman on the Twitters. I'm Daniel Shoptoff from C70 at the Bat at C70. We had some resolution and some activity from the Cardinals. It's still not what we want. It's still not exactly the, you know, the red meat, if you will, for the fan base. But, the biggest thing that we know now is Giancarlo Stanton is not a Cardinal, but now he is a Yankee. This week, things just never got any better for the Cardinals in the Stanton regard. And Tara, it was just, I don't remember ever a time when the Cardinals have come out and said, hey, we made this deal, but, you know, he wouldn't waive his trade. That's never been a press release before.
Yeah, no, but I think it was kind of necessary as far as what the front office actually wanted the fans to know about what they've been doing. I think in years past, even in this year, I would say before the trade deadline, the front office likes to say that they're busy, but then they don't actually say what they're busy doing if it doesn't end up working out, which is totally their prerogative. They don't have to tell anyone how many times they tried and failed to get a certain player to come to St. Louis. That's if I was in that position, I might not want to share that all the time either. But you know, I have to believe that there are a lot of conversations happening. There are a lot of sort of unofficial offers being made, and when those don't come through, it's easy to just ignore them and move on. But I think had the Cardinals not come straight out and said, look, we made them the best offer. We had the deal that the Marlins wanted. We made our very best pitch to Stanton and he had all the power and he said no. It feels a little different than in times past where the Cardinals basically pulled their offer off the table when it got out of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So it was an odd press release, but I think that it kind of went to prove to the fan base, if nothing else, that they really weren't messing around. This wasn't just a let's put our feelers out there and see what happens. They went in with the intention of getting Stanton to St. Louis, knowing that the ball was in his court from the very, very beginning, and it just ended up not working out.
Yeah, it's fascinating to find that the section of the fan base still will complain about it and blame the front office for spending a whole lot of time on a player that was obviously never coming to St. Louis, and why are you wasting your time on this? Which is because you can never make everybody happy. but I think most reasonable fans realize that, yeah, the front office did everything they could. I mean, you even saw a tweet today that people thought that their offer was a little bit better, you know, maybe a smidgen better than what the Yankees finally got Stanton for. The only difference was, as you said, Stanton was willing to go to New York. He was not willing to go to St. Louis. He was not willing to go to San Francisco. And I think that's kind of telling there. I mean, it's kind of amazing that, to me, that the Marlins were able to get rid of him at all when the two teams that desperately wanted him, he wouldn't go to. And so it's interesting that they were able to work out a deal with the Yankees seemingly so quickly after us sitting around and twiddling our thumbs for 5 weeks. But that's another story that we don't need to get into. So as you said earlier, or before we get on the show, anybody that the Cardinals get from now on is going to not live up to a Giancarlo Stanton, unless for some reason they're able to go out and get Manny Machado out of Baltimore, which is fairly unlikely. I don't know, is it going to be difficult for us to judge whatever move the Cardinals make, whether it's a good one or a big move or whatever, in the light of, but it's not Stanton?
You know, I think even if we don't want it to be, it will be in some regard, because there's always that shadow of what could have been, and not just because it was Stanton specifically, but because there's been so much made about the fact that the Cardinals are a little bit stagnant in a lot of ways, and to go out and bring in someone that has that kind of star power that shows such a dramatic shift in the way that the front office does business and in the way that the lineup will take shape day after day. I think it's going to be hard to recreate that kind of instant change. And you can move a lot more pieces and create a lot more potential in other ways. But to do it with one guy seems to bring with it a little bit more excitement and a little bit more energy, if nothing else. And that's not necessarily a quantifiable difference. But I do think there's something to the way people will react in light of, but we could have had Stanton. When, in reality, as you just said, it seems that they never really could have had Stanton. But the comparison is inevitable, I think.
Yeah. It's, I mean, again, I think that the Cardinals can do a lot of things this offseason and probably will do a lot of things this offseason, but it's going to be a little bit tainted, I guess, to some degree because of that. But hopefully not. Hopefully there's another big splash coming and we just kind of all forget about the fact that the MVP would not come to St. Louis and we all move on because, you know, that's us. We never hold on to anything.
No, not at all.
No. Speaking of not holding on to anything, let's revisit the Khalil Green trade. because the Cardinals, I gotta admit, I'm not completely surprised that the Cardinals announced a signing today, because I specifically tweeted out today to Mo that we wanted a move today to talk about on this show, and sure enough, the Cardinals go out and sign Luke Gregerson. So, Mo, we appreciate that. We thank you for listening, and, you know, if you want to make another big move, we'll even do a bonus show for you if you just, you know, send us an email. We'll do a show after you make a big move. So, Gregerson is not exactly being received with the warmest of arms. However, again, as you said, part of that is you go from, oh, we're going to get, you know, a 59 home run hitter to, oh, we got a middle reliever. And then a middle reliever that was not very good in 2017. Now, his career is a very strong one. Obviously, again, most people know he went from St. Louis in the Khalil Green trade along with Mark Worrell. Worrell never quite amounted to much, but Gregerson did. Obviously, Khalil Green did not either, but that's another story. Gregerson's been sharp. He's a guy that, you know, he had 46 saves in between 2015 and 2016, but I don't know that the Cardinals, Bob Nightingale tweet to the contrary, have signed him to be the closer. I think they're still looking for that idea. This is one of those
mathematically
ideas.
Speaking, or
yeah, mathematically speaking, Bob Nightingale has been eliminated from the playoffs. I think this is, you know, a lot of people have said throw arms at the problem, and that seems to be what the Cardinals are going after right here. Taro, I mean, what do you, I mean, you had a novel idea on this, that you can share with our audience, and it may just be as right as anything else.
I have a completely unscientific theory that I'm sure all the pitching experts out there will be happy to refute. But, no, my theory is that John Mozeliak has gone out and gotten, some similar profiling relievers in the last couple of off seasons, guys that have been good, but maybe not great over the course of their careers. And they bring him to St. Louis, hoping that the, scene change will sort of reignite their confidence and their skill set, and they'll be able to prove themselves to a new fan base, and it's gone horribly wrong. those things have not worked out the last couple of times for John Mozeliak. So my theory is that he looked at Gregerson and said, no, he got that bad year out of the way last year, so this year he'll be good again. So hopefully, you know, his rough season in Houston, just sets him up for a solid comeback year this time around. That's my completely unscientific theory.
It sounds good enough to me. You know, I know that I know I saw Zach Gifford. I think I may have seen Joe Schwartz, that we're not enamored with this. And those are guys that that know the sabermetrics and they know the pitching sides. And, you know, I look forward to seeing their right, and they may even have something up at Birds on the Black, but if they don't, I'm sure they will tomorrow, about this and why they're not excited about it. But when I look at it, I mean, in my amateur eye, I think what catches mine is the fact that he gave up 13 home runs last year, which is, you know, double almost any other year that he's given up. I mean, the 2 years before that, he combined for 10. And I think, you know, if he gets back down into the 5, 6, 7 home run range, the ERA falls, and things of that nature. He's pitched 60 innings, walked 20, struck out 70. I mean, he still seems to be, he was hit at a little harder rate than he was last year. Now, some of that may be age. I mean, he is going to be going into his age 34 season next year. And that may be somewhat of that, but it feels to me, I mean, just looking at this, it looks like 17 has a very good chance of being just an aberration. And the Cardinals, I don't think they just, you know, went out willy-nilly and signed him. I think they have a pretty good idea that, or at least they believe, and again, you know, like you said, sometimes they believe things that don't happen, but I believe they must believe that he's going to, you know, bring a presence to the bullpen. Again, don't think he's going to be the closer, but a guy that can strike out 10 over 9 innings gives a piece that bullpen hasn't always had. I mean, they've had some flamethrowers lately in Tula Vala and things of that nature, but they don't necessarily have, you know, with Rosenthal gone, a guy that can consistently strike out batters without, you know, walking a whole bunch either. So, although his walk rate was up last year, it's still sitting around. It usually sits around the 2.83 range. I don't know. I don't want to say I feel overly confident in this, and sometimes I live in the past because I remember Gregerson being good, but it seems to me that for a piece of a bullpen puzzle that has eluded them over the last few years, because we know how much the bullpen has needed help, getting an established veteran that, excuse me, has had a pretty good track record of success is a good idea.
Yeah, I don't, a couple of things on Gregerson. First of all, like I said on Twitter earlier, if Luke Gregerson is the make or break piece for the Cardinals in 2018, then they have much bigger issues. if this signing is the one that either pushes them over the edge or doesn't, then I think we're looking at a much bigger nightmare. But I also would say, again, completely unscientifically, that I think the Cardinals should probably not name a closer. Mm-hmm. just because that seems to end poorly for them as well. Mm. So just bring in these relievers who have some late inning experience, put them all out there in spring training, see what you've got to work with, and then if someone ends up being completely incapable of getting guys out in the ninth inning, you have legitimate backup options. But in addition to that, I think that, like you said, this seems to be one of many moves to come. I don't know, many might be a little bit of wishful thinking, but some more significant moves to fill in that bullpen, to go out and get a closer, which still seems to be a necessity. And I don't know that Gregerson is particularly men. I cannot talk tonight, which is a problem when you're trying to podcast. I don't think that Gregerson is a particularly exciting addition, but I also don't think it's a bad thing in and of itself.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking here at MOA Trade Rumors, and they point out last year's home run to fly ball rate was way worse than he's ever had. You know, I think there's a lot of trending things right, but you're, like you said, it's not the big piece. It's not, you know, we're not going to come to Wednesday and say, wow, they signed Gregerson. I think by Wednesday at the end of the winter meetings, I'm hopeful that we've kind of forgotten that that was the move that kicked everything off, because there's been so many bigger moves to go. And I mean, because look, we actually signed a starting pitcher this week, and we've kind of forgotten about that as well. Cardinals, you know, before the whole Stanton fiasco blew up on them, assigned Miles Mikolas. I guess. There we go. I've been saying it right until I think about it. Jolly old St. Mikolas.
There it is.
There we go. anyway, guy coming out of Japan, he's had some MLB experience, but kind of reinvented himself over in Japan. Had some good, last year he led the Japanese league in innings pitched. Had some significant success. Now, whether that can translate back to the big leagues is obviously questionable. He's probably not going to be as good with a little bit step up in competition, but the Cardinals went over and got Sungwan Oh out of the Japanese leagues. They have to feel fairly confident in their scouting over there. Again, we're not expecting him to be the top of the lineup guy, but what do you think? I mean, is this a solid addition for the Cardinals who were looking for innings somewhere?
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about him specifically. I don't watch a whole lot of Japanese league baseball or follow it very closely. But I think just in general, there are a lot of expectations on a bullpen that's going to have a lot of young arms. And then on the flip side of that, you're going to have, well, Adam Wainwright. So there are a lot of innings that are going to need to be taken care of. I think the loss of Lance Lynn meant they were going to have to fill in those innings with someone other than the young crop of starters that are coming up through the organization, at least to begin with. You're going to want to have someone who's a bit more established, a bit more consistent, in addition to that young firepower that you're going to see. So, again, much like the Gregerson deal, I think it's a solid addition. I don't know that it's the game changer that the Cardinals are looking for. And if they still went out and got Chris Archer or something like that, I don't think it would be terrible. It's been a while since the Cardinals have had that solid 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation. I don't know that Mikolas really helps with that. And, you know, for all we know, Luke Weaver could become one of those guys, when Reyes makes it back, and eventually ends up in the rotation, he could be that second guy to Carlos Martinez. But, the pitching puzzle is still a puzzle. I think both of these guys are just, kind of pieces that fit in the middle somewhere that aren't, particularly defined.
It is. I mean, there's a lot of flexibility, but it does feel like the Cardinals need that depth of options, because you don't know with so many question marks, so many youth, young players that they could take advantage of. And again, we don't know if all of these guys are still going to be here by the end of the week.
Right.
I mean, there's no guarantee.
There's that, also that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that one time there were some reports that Miami was interested in a Michael Wacha, and while I would think it's unlikely the Cardinals would do that, it also feels like the Cardinals have gotten to the point where they could do just about anything besides trading Carlos Martinez.
I feel like the list of untouchables is pretty small at this point.
It feels like it. I don't know. Nobody's going to take Yachty. They're not going to trade Adam Wainwright, and they're not going to trade Carlos Martinez. But anybody else? It wouldn't be stunning. I don't think they'd trade Alex Reyes because it's a possibility, I guess. I mean, everybody is still possible. So, you know, we have heard reports that the Cardinals are very active behind the scenes. That I think we've heard some things like they're in on everything, that they're talking to everybody about anything and everything. Is there any chance, do you think, that the Cardinals come out of this week without making some sort of, I think major would be the word to use, major splash. I mean, obviously we've seen them sign Gregerson, we've seen them sign Mikolas. Those don't count. I mean, those are nice pieces to do, but they don't move the needle. Or is there a chance the Cardinals don't move the needle this week?
Now that Stanton's off the board, I don't think so. I mean, I think that everyone's kind of, at this point, got their cards on the table. And if the Cardinals are, in fact, in on everything, they know what's available. They know what it's going to take. They may be trying to feel out a couple of more options on a few guys that aren't, as readily available. If they're trying to convince, Baltimore that Manny Machado needs to just be traded. that might take a little bit of work at the winter meetings this week, but I don't think there's any reason for them not to. If they're in on everything, if they know what's out there, if they know where they're willing to go, which evidently was pretty far, in order to get the return that they wanted, it really is just going to come down to, as it has the last several seasons, the way that the front office determines the value of a player. It's obvious that they felt Stanton had the enormous value that was equal to the enormous price tag. If they can't find anyone that is, in their minds, worth the price, I guess that's the way I could see things falling apart very quickly, but it also seems like this is a new brand of offseason for the Cardinals, at least at this point. And I know a lot of people are saying, yeah, cool, they went out and promised to pay a bunch of money for somebody and then get him. It's not really changing anything. But they went out and they made the deal. The Marlins had all but accepted it. It wasn't that the Cardinals didn't go that far. It wasn't like they got to a line where they were uncomfortable and wouldn't cross it. They may have gotten to a line that San Francisco crossed and then St. Louis said, okay, hold up. No. We're not playing this game again. So it does seem like there's a bit more of an aggressive nature to the way that the front office is handling this offseason, as there should be based on the results of the last couple of seasons and the changes that need to be made. So that's a very long-winded way of answering your question, but I think it would be surprising for the Cardinals not to make a move this week, or more than one move at that, because they know what they want, they know what they need, and without Stanton in the mix, there are only so many options that really fit the bill, and this is their chance to go out and get it done and then be able to move on.
Yeah, and don't worry, but we had airtime to fill, so it's fine. It's a lot better than saying, yeah, I like that much better.
Well, you know, that's what we do, right?
That's right. Nobody's ever accused us of being, you know, to the point, I don't think.
No. Ask my college professors. Concise was not ever a word they wrote on my papers.
Yeah, I mean, I think I opened the blog software and there's like 600 words already written.
Sounds about right.
I think that they have, I think they're going to, I think that they want to, I think that, you know, the Stanton thing shows that they're willing to spend the money, which we've not always thought. I think that, you know, we've talked about this a lot, that the goodwill of the fan base has been depleted over the last few years. Making a run at Stanton helps a little bit, but not much.
Not if you don't follow it up with something.
Exactly. you can't go to spring training and said, boy, we really tried. We've heard that, and then it doesn't work. It's like, well, if he would just have accepted, well, he didn't. Now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And I feel like the Cardinals have had plenty of backup plans. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, Tampa Bay and, you know, what that's going to do. And, I still would like to believe there's some stuff out there that we have no idea, that might happen.
Which would be the MO of this front office, would be to make a bunch of waves about Ozuna and Yelich and, Longoria, and then pull someone out of a hat somewhere and announce the signing 2 days in a winter meetings and be like, hey, guess what? No one was onto this trail.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a lot of information out there about this deal. And part of that was probably, like you said, the Cardinals wanted people to know they were in on him, that they had done what they needed to do, that it was going to be Stanton's responsibility if he didn't come. But part of it was also that I figure most of that came out of Miami's front office. You know, like Derek Gould said, next time the Cardinals comment on anything is be their first, you know, or the next leak out of the front office will be their first. So, you know, they're pretty buttoned up about things.
Yeah.
And like I said, this was a little bit of a special situation, but, So there's very good chance that they're working on something we don't know. And there's a very good chance they're working on something that never will come to fruition and we'll never know.
Right.
You know, until years from now when somebody writes a book and they say, oh, by the way, they were, you know, within a phone call of getting Bryce Harper, you know.
Yeah.
Glad you're telling me this 10 years from now, not at the time. It would have been a lot more frustrating.
After 5 years of the Cubs with Bryce Harper, because everyone says that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that was
not to be Debbie Downer or anything,
yeah,
but.
That's just, no, that's not depressing at all, Tara. Thank you. With Stanton now at the Yankees, and of course, you know, it's the Yankees. They could spin like that and go get Harper anyway, and that would probably break baseball, and they'd have to do a whole nother, you know, CBA or something like that, because it's obviously not working if they could have Judge and Stanton.
Because no one would ever win a game against the Yankees.
Yeah. Well, if you did,
they would win every game like 14 to something. They wouldn't score less than 14 runs a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you probably get it probably like 14 to 10 a lot of times.
Yeah, that's why I started to say that, and then I was like, no, see, they're not going to have any pitching left if they do that, so.
Seems to be a possibility there, but, I mean, the Cardinals have to follow up on this stuff, and they have to do, something they're not comfortable with, something, and unfortunately for the Cardinals, because you know how they are, this was a deal that would have been perfect for them because they could have taken a whole lot of money on and not have to give up. I mean, they would have given up some nice prospects. They would have given up, apparently, Alcantara, something else. But they didn't have to give up Stanton's value in prospects. They could just give up some prospects and take all that money. Well,
right.
Anybody that they trade for now, whether it's Yelich or Ozuna, whether it's the deal out of Tampa Bay, whether it's somebody else, is probably going to need to be more prospect-based, which means they're going to have to give up more of those players that they like to hold on to so tightly. Mm-hmm. And while the Cardinals will probably do that, it's going to hurt them a lot more. And, you know, maybe that's what they need. I don't know. But they have to do something because, you know, I'm pretty sure that there's a holiday sale on torches and pitchforks, somewhere close to Busch Stadium. And, you know, they might get used if there's nothing new between now and Christmas Day. So, I don't know. We shall see, I guess. We shall see.
It's going to be interesting. This is always, a little bit exciting because you feel like, all right, baseball things are going to start happening. But I think this year is as exciting as it has been, in recent past because you do, like I said, I feel like the Cardinals are really in it, to make some significant changes. So, hopefully it's a big week. Hopefully they do something that forces us to do a show next week, whether it's on Sunday night or not.
Yeah. It won't be on Sunday night. I can guarantee you that. Tara and I will not be doing it on Sunday night. Have to squeeze it in earlier in the week or something, but, you know, I think so. I think we have to wait and see, but I do think that, and it's not only, I mean, it could be the fact that they can go any way too. I mean, last off season it was, they got to go get a center fielder. Well, the only center fielder out there is Dexter Fowler. They're going to probably, you know, I mean, that's really kind of lined out. Everybody kind of saw that one coming a mile away.
Right.
This year is, you know, they could go get a third baseman. They could go get an outfielder. They could go get, you know, if they wanted to be wild, they could, you know, trade Colton Wong at a second baseman, which I don't think they will, but you know, there's always
killing me.
I know. But I don't, like I said, I don't think they would, but you know, you can't rule out like,
but he's not untouchable. No, right. He's not untouchable.
We said there's very few that are. And so, you know, they could trade Carson Kelly and get, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of different
things. Which might be the best thing that ever happened to Carson Kelly because he's never going to play.
Possibilities. you know, not that, you know, Carson's doing a good job. He was out wrapping presents and stuff.
Yeah.
Luke Voigt.
I mean, I don't know if he was doing a good job at the present wrapping.
No. Yeah. He said that he hoped that the person that got his present was not going to critique his wrapping skills, but, I just figure it's kind of like framing the strike zone, really. I mean, you should be able to just, you know, cover the corners and not be a problem.
I'm not sure that translates, but it's a good analogy nonetheless.
So, and I do, you know, somebody did point out that I think the Cardinals are now the first three Luke team. Yeah. Or at least in the majors. So now that we have a Luke Gregerson.
See, they did that with Matt's a couple of years ago. So they just decided to change it up. Yeah. Move on to a different name.
Well, see, we're looking at the MMs, coming back. Yeah. You know, I remember back in the day when we had Mark McGwire and Mike Matheny and Matt Morris and all that. And now you've got Matheny and Mike Maddox and, you know, Manny Machado. That would seem to fit right in there.
But there's a pattern here. See, here's another totally unscientific theory. Sure. I think that John Mozeliak is just as OCD as I am. So he gets exceptional pleasure when things are symmetrical or in order or matching. So if he could just create a whole team of players and coaches with the same initials, that might make things a little weird when you're trying to talk about them in shorthand on Twitter, because you would have no idea which person you're talking about.
Man, MM is great, but I hate MM.
So, yeah, that could go a lot of different ways. That's but, right. You know, maybe that's a John Mozeliak thing. Just make everything as simple as possible by keeping them all with the same initials.
And that goes along with his collection mentality of keeping everything. So, yeah.
Exactly.
It's amazing, amazing what we can figure out when we sit here and talk about these things.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Anyway, Mo, thanks for listening. And hope you have a good time in Orlando as the winter meetings are going on, because I'm sure he'll be tuning in right as we put this up here in a few minutes on Sunday night.
Got to make sure he's got all the last minute advice.
Exactly. He doesn't want to go into these meetings unprepared. I mean, you can only do so much.
He's better than that.
Right. And then you've got to tune into Gateway and find out exactly what to do. So.
Find out all the unproven, unscientific theories of the of the Gateway.
That's right. All right. Well, like we said, Tara and I do not plan to do another show until after the calendar flips. That could change depending on activity. I know Alan and I are still going to do a Meet Me at Mutual, I think, this week. So, you know, if you have to listen to something, you can listen to me over there. Maybe we'll wrangle Tara in and if she's got a free moment or two, and we'll just do it all over there if there's a big splash move this week. But otherwise, have a good holiday season. Enjoy The Last Jedi. And there's Christmas too. I'm sorry. That's right.
Also that.
Yeah, there's that. I've always found it really cool that they did so much decorating for the movies, but you know. At my house, you really can't tell. It's half of one, half of the other. My BB-8 lights look great, though.
Well, there you go.
There you go. So, anyway, we will be back with you some point in time. Have a good holiday season, and by the time we get back, we'll be really getting close to that baseball season, which is really good. So, for Tara, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.